I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lang. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
You've been doing it for a while now, so what's the best way to go about analysing the properties you're looking to purchase?
Well, when you talk about analysing potential properties, you need to understand that it actually takes place over several phases. And as you'll recall, these fall within the first two steps of my nine-step investment formula. And it all begins with how to filter your properties. And then, once you've arrived at your shortlist, you will undertake a more detailed on-site inspection before plugging all the key information for each of your chosen properties into the final judgment software.
Okay, let's perhaps begin with the first phase.
This first part of the process is simply a matter of numbers. And as I said, it all takes place across a couple of phases, which I've affectionately called the 25-2-1 rule. Now, the first part of this phase is where you scour the market for potential opportunities and reviewing around about 20 properties in a normal market. However, in the current climate, you may uncover only about 5 properties if you're lucky, maybe 10. And then you enter the shortlisting part of the phase, where you would ideally end up with 5 properties, which you would put through a more thorough analysis. But again, in the current market, you may end up with only 1 or 2 properties that you deem worthy of further investigation. And then you need to see how well they emerge from a detailed site inspection. And nonetheless, even in the current market, the principles and the ratios, if not the actual numbers, tend to remain intact despite your available opportunities are starting to dry up, as what I'm seeing at the moment. Now, that may change, and once we move out of the COVID-19, there could be more opportunities come available.
When chatting before going live today, you mentioned you had a rather neat way of doing this fairly quickly.
In what we've covered in earlier podcasts, you'll recall that there are 8 key investment objectives that you're seeking to meet. However, I won't go into them in detail now. You can go back and listen to earlier podcasts. Plus, there are also 12 buying criteria which determine how well the property meets each of your investment objectives. And therefore, you need a quick way to shortlist potential properties, but being able to do so requires an objective rather than a subjective approach. And that's when I originally developed a rating matrix, which has your investment objectives listed across the top: enduring value, ongoing cash flow, steady growth, etc. And then down the left-hand side, your 12 buying criteria, where you would rate each of them out of 10 as to how well the property appears to meet that particular criterion. However, this matrix had one major drawback, and that was that you needed to be in front of your computer when making the assessment, because it was effectively a spreadsheet. And if you were out and about looking at properties, that presented you with an awkward logistical problem. So that's why I developed the High Return Filter app, which you can download for free to your iPad or your iPhone to have right in front of you while you're there at each property, or you could still be at your desk just looking at the information memorandum that the agents will provide to you. And what I'll do is, under this podcast, is include a link so that you can go download a copy. And as I said, the app is free. And the important thing is that you are assessing each of your potential properties using pure logic. It removes the emotion or the subjectivity from your decision. And the yardstick I use is that you need to get a 70% score or better for the property when rating them. Otherwise, you simply don't include it on your shortlist. And the app includes 2 walkthrough videos which explains how the app works and what you need to do. And also there are prompts all the way through as you're trying to rate the properties. If you get stuck, it'll tell you what questions to ask or what things to take into consideration in arriving at your assessment out of 10 for that particular criterion.
Okay, you've created your shortlist and carried out on-site inspections to decide which of the properties best suit your investment objectives. So what's the next step?
So we're now at a point where you've shortlisted the properties and assessed them with the high return filter app. You've inspected them and you've now selected the actual properties that you want to seriously consider, which in the current market will most likely be only one, or if you're lucky, maybe 2. Now that's where the final judgment software comes in. And I make that available to all the members of my mentor group. And as you're aware, there are some 18 components which the software takes into account when assessing each property. And these various components fall under 6 main categories. The first one is the basic details, like the address of the property, the settlement date, the price you've been able to negotiate, the area of the property, and the type of property, in other words, office, industrial, etc. And then you include the buying, buyer's details, in other words, what's the purchase vehicle? Is it, are you buying in your own name, in a company, or a trust? And therefore, what's the effective tax rate? Is it 45% or is it 30% because it's a company? Then we move on to the loan details, which would include the amount being borrowed, the loan period, and the effective interest rate over that period. And I know your interest rates might be 0.5% more, but I have a preference, particularly in the current stage in the economy, is to probably fix your rate because it enables you to sleep better at night. You don't worrying about is the interest rate suddenly going to go up. Then you've got the tenancy details, which are generally provided by the agent, but the length of the lease, the rent, who pays the outgoings, generally it's the tenant, what's the annual escalation, when are the market reviews, etc. And then you look at any other outgoings. And I said, mostly they're paid by the tenant. It could be it's a retail tenant. Then you've got to allow for the land tax to be paid by you. In other words, reduced from the rental income that the tenant pays. And then finally, you've got to include the selling details. Now, to achieve a meaningful calculation, you have to have an end sale date and allow for the appropriate costs, you know, the sales commission, the advertising, etc. And as you'll recall, I recommend basing your analysis over no more than a 4-year period.
Perhaps just remind our listeners why you prefer to adopt such a relatively short time frame.
Well, my reasoning for adopting a 4-year period is that your greatest incidence of costs for a property is when you buy it and when you sell it. At the outset, you incur things like stamp duty, legals, valuation fees, etc. And when you sell the property, you then have selling commission, advertising, legals, capital gains tax. And that's when your greatest incidence of costs occurs at the buying and the selling. And so, if your projections add up over a short period of time, in other words, 4 years, then spreading them over 7 or 8 years will make the property's performance look even more attractive. But most software encourage you to look 7, 8, 9, 10 years out. And I don't know about you, but I threw my crystal ball away 2 or 3 years ago, because you can't really or realistically make sensible estimates of costs and income more than 4 years out. I mean, you're just making adjustments for inflation and so forth. So you have to be comfortable in knowing that if circumstances require you to sell after 4 or maybe 5 years, then the deal has been worthwhile. And with that in mind, the yardstick I use to achieve with the property is that it needs to achieve an after-tax return of at least 10% per annum on the equity that you invest over that 4-year time frame. In other words, for the more accounting-minded people, that's called the internal rate of return. But we're talking an after-tax return on the equity you invest. Now, 10% after tax, depending on your tax rate, is worth anywhere between 14.5% to 17% pre-tax return, which is not too shabby. And furthermore, the software allows you to generate complete summary of all the assumptions that you've made in inputting the information, as well as the resulting after-tax cash flow projections that generates, which you can then print out or save to your computer. And I'm pretty sure that already some of my mentor group members have found these two pages handy to include as part of their loan application, and thereby demonstrating to the lender that you've undertaken a serious in-depth analysis of the property in question.
I realise we've covered quite a lot today, but thank you for doing that.
Well, hopefully that's given our listeners a much clearer understanding of what's required to initially uncover and then fully analyse each property before they ultimately go about purchasing it.
Yes, I'm sure it has. And once again, thank you.
Well, it was my pleasure.